Welcome back to a super fantasy football show. Rando, who amongst our friend group do you think would be able to run for president without having something terrible from their past coming back to end their campaign?
Ooh, it wouldn't be either of the Matthews.
And we're not discussing specifics.
Yeah, I'm not getting into details here. It sure as hell isn't me.
I think one of the Matthews could get away with it. Matthew Chez.
Nope. See, with revisionist history, that event that happened all stemmed because of Matthew. However you want to spin it, everyone forgets that the root of that problem started with Matthew and Evan. And had that not, that one little incident not happened, I don't think that whole thing transpires. I don't think it goes down the way it did.
Maybe this wasn't a great opening question.
But now that you asked it, John, out of all our friends, because it sure as hell isn't me, I don't think either of the Matthews. I feel like I don't know the old Brian. Brian used to call me freak in high school.
maybe Dave. He's pretty clean.
I'm gonna say out of the league, out of our friend group, I think you or David.
Oh God, I don't think me.
I'm trying to think of the worst thing you've ever did, and.
Oh God! All right, well let's go ahead and get off this.
It's definitely not Tom. I'll tell you that much.
Speaking of Tom, we have our top scorer for week one, Tom Haley, owner of Cracker Barrel CEO. Tommy, how are you doing, bud?
I am doing great. How you doing? How you boys doing?
Not too
bad.
Feeling
good. Feeling good.
How you feeling after that week one win?
Honestly, pretty encouraged. I didn't really have anybody pop off except for Lamar, but it was just an even round all across.
I remember last year also the first week was pretty low scoring, and this first week was pretty low. Only Oink and Cracker Barrel CEO cracked 100 points. Everyone else was underneath 100.
I think there's a pretty good reason for that, too, if you look at our quarterbacks.
Let's see, you got Lamar and Oink had Josh Allen. Yeah, I mean, those are the two premier guys in the whole league, I would say.
There you go.
All right, well, let's go ahead and dive into it, because I know I got shit to do, and I know Randy has shit to do.
Well, John, before we start, I do have, for our fellow listeners of the podcast, mm-hmm. and I know I like to bring it up from time to time, but someone has made it apparent to me that Palais Blue is finally reopening on 10/21 after 3 years. And
is that right?
Commissioner Glancy is planning on being there opening night.
Richard has shared that shit together. Okay.
Yeah, Palais Blue reopening. So we're not going to be able to get David on as a guest. I believe he is a standing reservation.
any word on what took 3 years to reopen the restaurant?
I'm not sure, but DeChance's brother Ron is a customer of ours,
mm-hmm.
and is in all the time. I'll ask him.
Yeah, let us know.
I'm going to guess that they were actually dissatisfied with their old pastry chef, and that was the issue.
I'd like to think that. Tom.
Yeah.
And then, John, one other thing I want to touch on, since we don't usually keep track of these.
Yeah.
Our picks for the week.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you said you were going to keep track of them this year. That'd be great.
Yeah, so the standings so far for the picks.
Okay.
If I can scroll fast enough. Where did I put it, Johnny?
You texted it to me this very morning.
I know, but we were texting all day. Okay. After last week. With me, I am 3-1 in the leaderboard. John is 1-3, and David went 2-2.
Ooh, okay. 50% for the guest.
Now, John, had you picked yourself last week, you would have been 2-2.
Wow. That's disappointing to hear.
Yeah.
But you know what? Onward and upward.
I'm ready to dissect, John. I'm locked into week one. Where do you want to start?
Let's start at the bottom. Let's start with Oink versus new team name also we need to touch on. Sid's Got Jeans. Formerly, God, what did they used to be called, Rando?
Hachtua.
That's it.
Tom, did we just do that in sequence?
Almost. We were like a step up.
Oh, wow. I was going to say that was amazing.
I'll match it up in post. That was pretty good, though.
Yeah. I think I almost hawked to it in my pants there.
How do we feel about this team name since we've been so critical of the other team changes this year?
Me and Tom were touching on this before you got on, John. Mm-hmm. Diddy always stays current.
He does, yeah.
Nice and topical.
Mm-hmm.
It did take me a minute to understand it. I don't know if Matt knows this, but he spelled jeans wrong.
My question is, what I don't totally get is, who is Sid in this situation? I don't see a single player on his team named Sid, Sydney, Siddhartha, anything like that.
Tom, you want to take this one?
Well, unless I'm mistaken, just like the topical internet event of the year last year was What's Your Face having that meme where she says, "Hark to a spit on that thing." This year, the internet was all pissed off about Sydney Sweeney having her tits out in a jeans commercial and everybody thinking it was Nazi propaganda. So now that's what he's basing it off of. That is my guess. He might be talking about, the double entendre, hence the Squidward profile picture of the Squid's Got Jeans, which was from SpongeBob SquarePants. But, I could be wrong.
Now, Tom, listeners that are 100. On a first grade reading level like myself, can you define double entendre?
That would be a turn of phrase that has a double meaning.
Okay, I'll take it.
Okay, how do we rank this this name change out of 10?
I give it a 6.
6, okay. I don't love that it's not football related, but then again, neither was Hawk Tua, so
I'm gonna give it a soft 6. I like it a little better than Cracker Barrel's CEO.
That's fair.
I liked Hawk Tua better.
I did too.
I'm not totally sure why, but I'll examine that with my therapist later. All right, let's get into this game. We got Sid's Got Jeans making their debut against Oink, and I think I picked Sid's Got Jeans in this one. And boy, did they disappoint. Only putting up 93.5 to Oink's 117.5. I don't think this game was ever close, but Oink got almost 40 points from Josh Allen, who I swear has scored 500 points in his last 5 games.
Well, I mean, if I'm looking at the breakdown, though, I feel like at one point Sid might have been leading, Matt might have been leading, but because they both have some pretty bad spots on this, on the roster where, 2.5, 5.5, 3, 3, 5, just like some real duds. But clearly David's highs were higher than Matt's highs.
Yeah. You had Bijan with 21 points, Kyron Williams, 12.5, Puka Nacua, 18.
Puka Nacua, yeah.
Yeah, strong performance out of the defending champ, and I'm sure he's happy to get out of there with a week one victory.
Now, John, one thing, you did say this was going to be the week that Sid's Got Jeans ended that losing streak, but he's currently still on it.
Oh my God, you're right. Holy shit.
I forgot about that. Time. Damn.
Yeah, he is on a losing streak. I'm just curious how long you think this will go.
Oh, man.
Wait, we'll get to it. I was about to say, who's he playing next, but we'll get to it.
Yeah, we'll get to it. We won't spoil it. We won't spoil it.
No.
All right. Yeah, that's crazy. And I think, what did we decide? It was like November 2023 was his last win. We don't need an exact date, Rando, but
yeah, something like around that. There.
That's crazy.
That's wild.
Oh my God, that's brutal. Tough loss. I think he had some a great performance out of Jalen Hurts on. Was that Thursday night game?
Thursday night.
But really, really bummer performance out of Devontae Smith. DJ Moore didn't do that great. But, pretty solid elsewhere. I think it's just the receivers. They kind of fucked him up a little bit there.
If you look across the entire league, you got to love the guys who have a running quarterback.
Yes, 100%.
It definitely helps.
That makes such a difference. All right, let's get to our next game. Let's go to the Iron City Olifants versus the Running Fools. The Fonts escape with a victory, 92.5 points to the Running Fools, 88.5 points.
That was a nail biter, John.
Man, it was so close, and Derrick Henry's fumble at the end of the game made it even closer. He really carried me, though, putting up 27.5. Thank God for him. because the rest of my team kind of laid some duds there. Other than rookie receiver Emeka Ogbuka, put up 20 points with two touchdowns. So
I was thrilled about that. Did anyone else see Rob Gronkowski try to pronounce his name?
Oh, it was so funny.
He couldn't do it. They had him on camera for like a minute and a half, and he tried like four or five different times. He kept calling him Abuya, Abukaya, Agukba.
It looked like he was short circuiting. It was just
His brain was just melting.
I almost wonder if he's doing the real life version of like the sitcom thing where like Kevin in The Office, he starts out just kind of being a normal guy who's a little bit dumb, and by the end he's essentially special needs. I feel like Gronk is doing that, but in real life.
Well, just playing it up for the cameras.
He plays it up big time.
Well, it's kind of like, did you ever see those, what's that one commercial series he does where it's like Navy Federal Credit Union, I think? Where like, where like he always talks like children, like, I'm special, I'm a big boy, I could get insurance too. No, Gronk, only if someone in your family was in the Navy. Oh.
That is such an accurate description of those commercials. Oh, man. Anyway, let's get back to this game. And then on the Running Fools side, obviously a lot of duds over there, because he put up the fewest points this week. Although it was close. Between last place and third place, I think, are only separated by 8 points. So that's pretty fucking pathetic by all of us.
That's, wow, yeah.
Big news for him, though. Christian McCaffrey, holy shit.
Yeah, is he not healthy?
He put up 17 and a half points. I'd say he's pretty damn healthy.
Yeah.
He's somehow the only player on the team that is healthy, because Purdy might not play this week. Kittle's out for a month. Juwan Jennings, I think, got hurt. It's pretty bad.
Yeah, that's crazy. Huge for him that he is still playing. And, I mean, the old guys that he has, Alvin Kamara also put up some good points, put up 12. I guess Stephon Diggs only got 8, but, I would say Amon-Ra only putting up 6, that really screwed him, and Dak Prescott only getting 7.
Yeah, that really hurt.
It's not great. And then another strong point for the Fools, though, is Justin Jefferson getting 12 points. I was texting with Brian, and I know he was a little bit nervous about the essentially rookie quarterback coming in J.J. McCarthy, but he pulled it together. He got Justin Jefferson 12 points, so not too bad. All right, let's move on to the next game. Let's do Real Americans versus the Technical Fouls. Rando, you escaped with a Week 1 victory.
You want to talk about a barn burner against a rival?
Tell us about this game.
This game, it delivered everything that I wanted out of a fantasy football matchup. Two high-profile quarterbacks going at it, Jaden Daniels, Patrick Mahomes. I edged Matthew out on that. Then you had Saquon Barkley and James Cook, two elite running backs. I edged Matthew out on that. Saquon had 16 points. I had 17 and a half with James Cook. But then here's where you get down into the nitty-gritty.
Yeah.
Amari and Hampton, 6 points. Xavier Worthy was a fail. But I believe he got hurt early on, right, Tom?
He got hurt in the very first series by running into Travis Kelce and dislocating his shoulder.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
That was a fail. But then where I made up for it was Deebo Samuel, 17 and a half points. My kicker for the Jaguars, who when I drafted him, everyone said it was a terrible choice for a kicker, had 15 points.
Did he hit any 70-yarders?
I do not believe so.
Damn.
And Travis Hunter, coming in out of the flex position, had 6 points.
Not too bad. Any of those from his defensive skills?
Let's take a look. You know what? I didn't even think to look at that. I should have. Complete stats.
I thought it was just interceptions, right?
Yeah, Although I'm sure we would have heard about it if he got an interception.
Although I suppose he might get credit for a forced fumble or fumble recovery too, right? Theoretically?
I suppose fumble recovery, yeah, he would get points for.
Yeah,
I don't know. It doesn't say. But he had 6 points, so I'm still on the fence with him. But I like where things are going.
I want to watch a Jaguars game sometime just to see what this looks like, him playing both ways.
But Matthew's team, it's strong. He's just got a same thing like mine. I think we just got to rearrange the puzzle a little bit.
Yeah, and I think, A.J. Brown's not going to get a half point every week. That's insane.
Yeah.
So I'm still pretty. That's if
Jalen Hurts can find him.
Well, that's true, and he's stealing all the rushing touchdowns from everyone else. So, great week one victory, Rando. Do you know by the chance off the top of your head? Are you used to week one victories as the real Americans?
I feel like Matthew, because I played Matthew most of the week ones in the league's history, and I feel like Matthew has the lead in the series. So, I'm glad to get one back on the board. I wanna get the train rolling in the right direction here.
Yeah, well, a 1-0 start is certainly the way to do it. And speaking of 1-0, let's get to our guest game, Cracker Barrel CEO versus Altman and Sons Incorporated. I think we all agreed that this was going to be, I think it was the game of the week, but also, well, no, I'm sorry, that was not the game of the week. I'm sorry, David, yours was the game of the week. But this was a matchup between Titans, or is it what we were expecting, only getting 91.5 out of Altman and Sons Incorporated. That was crazy. That was a letdown.
Unexpected.
Tom, take us through your emotions from this week's game.
So I would say that I was pretty happy with pretty much all my contributions across the board, especially considering 2 out of 3 of my keepers, arguably my top keepers, had the worst showings of my entire team. Jahmyr Gibbs with only 9 points, and Ja'Marr Chase was with only 3 points. So you got to think that those guys are going to improve in the weeks going forward.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so onward and upward for Cracker Barrel CEO. As for Altman and Sons Incorporated, I think a similar thing with a couple of his guys. Joe Burrow only getting 8 points. I don't think that's going to happen very often.
No.
T. Higgins only getting 4.5.
Same as my Chase guy. You know, like their entire offense was just a disaster in that game.
I wonder what happened. I would have loved to watch that game live because 17-16. And only 9 points or 8 points out of Joe Burrow.
Apparently, the Bengals as a team only had 7 yards of offense in the second half.
Yeah. Good Lord. Yeah. That's they just crazy. Were not jiving.
I was listening to a podcast earlier today, and they were talking about how like almost impossible that is.
That's crazy. I also saw how many kicks did the Browns kicker miss?
3.
Holy shit. And were those field goals or extra points or
both?
Oh my god! That's such.
Did they cut their kicker this morning? Right.
I think they did because he was just some like guy they got the practice squad or I think like you know he was a guy who was like part of a tryout I guess you would say and apparently he was good in the preseason but well you know.
That is so funny. I'm so confused about what the hell Myles Garrett wanted with his like. Little trade demand in the offseason. I mean, I suppose he wanted a fuck ton more money.
He wanted
money. And he got it. But he came out of that saying, like, oh, I'm confident in the plan going forward. Was this the plan going forward to not have a fucking place kicker in week one?
John, the plan going forward was they don't have a plan.
They have no plan. Gotcha.
You're starting Joe Flacco at quarterback.
What? I fucking hate that.
I can't believe Joe Flacco is still playing.
That's pretty crazy, too. Is he older than our guy?
No, he is not.
Do you know
the age? It can't be by much, Tom.
It can't be by much, but I know for a fact that people made note to say Aaron is the oldest player in the league.
Here, hold on. How old is Joe Flacco?
Yeah.
This is why... hold on, Tom. Joe Flacco... was born January 16th, 1985. He's 40 years old.
Rodgers was born in 1983, Randy.
Correct.
Oh, wow. Wow, Tom, you really pulled that one out your ass. You know the month and the day?
I do not know the month and the day. That would be really impressive. Or sad.
I'll give you a hint. You would say Aaron Rodgers is born... His birthday is 8 days before Matthew Albert Chez's. And if you don't know when Matthew Albert Chez's is, then you're not really his friend, Tom.
Randy, we all know that's not his real birthday. He was born in Russia under mysterious circumstances.
But yeah, man. For those of you listening, Matthew Chez is born 8 days after Aaron Rodgers.
Are 41 years old, Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Turning 42. Holy shit. That's crazy.
Tom, not to take away from your game, but I do have a quick question for you while we're on the topic, Aaron Rodgers.
Dude.
So, Tom, over under, or here, you tell me, how many days do you think it took the Steelers to score a week one opening drive touchdown? Not an opening drive touchdown in general, a week one opening drive touchdown. Wait, you can either give me the year you think it happened, or you can give me the amount of days it's been.
Okay, wait. So you're saying, when's the last time? You phrased that in a strange way. When's the last time the Steelers scored an opening week opening drive touchdown?
A week one opening drive touchdown.
Okay, hold on a second.
When's the last time the Steelers scored a week one opening drive touchdown? Can you name it? And I sent this to John this morning, and I'm still baffled by it.
It was crazy.
I'm going to say 2018.
Oh, you're way off, buddy.
When was it?
All right. It was September 7th, 2008.
What?
6,210 days ago, Willie Parker scored in that game.
Willie Parker?
Oh, my God.
I thought going back is 7 years is a long time. Holy shit.
Yeah, that's the last time the Steelers scored a week one opening drive touchdown was 2008.
Gosh. Oh, my God.
That is crazy.
I couldn't believe that stat.
That's insane.
Yeah. I feel so much better about the Steelers after watching that game. Just having the offense didn't even look amazing. They just looked like
competent.
Normal.
Competent.
Yeah, competent, normal, which is really all I want out of an offense. Because
John, you know how many four touchdown games the Steelers had last year?
Oh my God. One.
Zero.
Zero. Really? Didn't we break 30 points one time? I guess we had a lot
on,
of goals.
I think most of them were on.
Wait,
I almost called him Shweezum.
Randy, what about that first Bengals game where we had like 38 points?
Oh, maybe it was four. Were all our touchdowns passing touchdowns?
Today? I mean, yeah, on Sunday they were all passing. Yeah.
Okay, maybe it was the last time the Steelers threw four passing touchdowns. Or how many?
Okay,
games
that
of
would
the
make
Steelers,
sense.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I was going to say, because I specifically remember that Bengals game where Russ had like a shitload of yards and great stats being the last good game of last season, and it was one of the best like offensive games we've had in a long time. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think I had that stat mixed up.
By the way, speaking of stats, do you want to hear a hilarious stat for my team this week?
Would love to.
Let's hear it.
Jahmyr Gibbs had 10 catches for 31 yards.
That's how he scored the 9 points?
Yeah, because he only had 19 yards rushing, and he had 10 catches for 31 yards.
Oh, wow.
Holy shit. That is so funny.
Isn't that crazy?
I feel like that's such an indictment on the half point per catch.
It's wild.
Hey, Tom, also, kudos to you for having the balls to play Altman and Sons and say, you know what, I'm so confident in my team. In a league that doesn't value tight ends, I'm going to start two young upstart tight ends in Brock Bowers and Tyler Warren.
I was confident.
That was awesome.
I was confident. I mean, again, like...
I just wanted to note that. You had Brock Bowers accounted for 12.5 points, so he exceeded his projection. And Tyler Warren had 10.5 points, which exceeded his projection of 7.8.
I had good information that Tyler Warren was going to be heavily featured in this offense, and he had the very first reception of the game. I think he had the first three catches of that game.
Yeah, Daniel Jones went off.
Yeah, he did.
I'm trying to see, what did Daniel Jones finish the day with fantasy-wise? Does anyone know?
I think 28.
Wow, that's probably the most he's ever gotten. Although, I don't know, he's always been a...
He's had some weird fantasy days, actually. So
yeah, he had 28 points. I love that there's three quarterbacks or four quarterbacks who scored. Yeah, one, two, three, four. There's four quarterbacks sitting on the bench or on the free agent list that have scored over 20 points this week.
I mean,
Daniel Jones. Who else?
Daniel Jones, Aaron Rodgers, Michael Penis, and J.J. McCarthy.
I mean, I had Justin Fields on the bench who had 28, but Lamar Jackson at 29, so it all worked out.
Well, Tom, how's the week one victory feel? What kind of tone does this set going forward?
You know, it feels especially good because, let's be honest here, Eric probably has the most complete team in the entire league. If you look at his, you know, starting roster and his bench, like, most of us would take half his bench over some of our starters. So the fact that I was able to get a pretty decisive victory over his team, yeah, it means a lot.
You speak for yourself. Don't put words in our mouths.
No, I totally agree, Tom. You can put words in my mouth all day. You can put other things in my mouth, too. Oh, thank but you, I think the positive part of Altman and Sons Incorporated, if you want to look at the positive spin, you left 80 points on the bench, fellas. I mean, you put Kyler in there. You put Garrett Wilson in there and Breece Hall. This is a different ball game.
Well, so sometimes you have to think about it logically, John, because the thing is, you're never really going to put Kyler in over Joe Burrow. Like, in your mind, would you ever do that?
Yeah, you're right. Probably not.
But
it would only be matchup dependent.
But
yeah,
the rest of his guys, though, Breece Hall going forward, I would definitely put in there. Garrett Wilson, definitely a good chance of that. Ricky Pearsall right now. I mean, like, there's definitely some guys you would think about moving forward versus, like, say, my team. I don't think there's anybody on my bench that I would put in over anybody I started. Even Javonte Williams for the Cowboys, who had 19 points, I don't think he's going to keep doing that every week. So, you know.
Yeah, wow. He put up like half the points on your bench.
Yes, he did.
Not too bad.
Tom, I wanted to see, did you have Justin Fields?
Yeah.
What did he end up putting up? Because he had a hell of a day.
He had 28 points.
Oh, damn. Okay. Wouldn't have mattered in your case, but yeah, that's a hell of a day for him.
For the record,
that's pretty good.
I'm putting it out there. For anybody who is concerned about their quarterback situation, trade block is open. He's on the trade block.
I'm calling tampering on that. I'm turning you into league offices. You can't use this platform for trades.
Well, actually, I'm just getting this now. Breaking news, Rando. This is crazy. We have... Are you ready for this?
We got a
trade to announce. Are you ready?
We have a trade already?
Live on the pod. It just came through not 2 seconds ago. We have Trey McBride going from the Iron City Olifants to Cracker Barrel CEO for New York Jets quarterback Justin Fields.
Let's go.
Three tight ends.
How about that?
Three tight ends.
I like it, Tom. Get on the tight end train. John, I like it for you. You have Bo Nix and...
CJ Stroud.
Yeah.
Both pretty bummer
people. He did not have a good game.
Let's be honest, Sean. You had to be pretty scared of both your quarterbacks after week one.
Yeah, I'm still weirdly optimistic about Bo Nix. I'm hoping he can run the football a little bit better, but yeah, not...
I wouldn't mind having... I have a very thin bench, so like anytime I have an injury, I'm worried. So I need more skill. Versus Justin Fields, is obviously looks like he's going to be great, but I'm never actually going to start him over Lamar. So
right,
you know,
I love
John.
It.
I'm a little disappointed in you.
Why is
in
that?
Me?
Do you not look and see where the market is set?
Wait, well, teach me, learn me.
Oh, hold on, I'm trying to. I'm in this. If you go here, the last time Trey McBride was traded in our league, let me see if I can find it. Trey McBride was sent to, that was a loaner deal. It was a third round pick, round three, 2025 pick, and Trey McBride, and I sent James Cook to Chez on a loan last year.
I'm not quite sure what you're getting at, Randy.
I thought originally I could have said that John could have got more for Trey McBride.
You know, I kind of hate Trey McBride with every ounce of my being, so I'm okay right. with this.
I like the move for you, for Tom. It's just more depth. I like it. It's a good trade for both of you.
I thought so too. I don't think either of us got hosed in any way, so I think it makes sense.
I love it.
You know what, John? I hope you beat Tom the rest of the year. I don't like that you move out of the East and now Tom thinks he can just trade with you and he doesn't fear you anymore.
I've been in the West.
Oh, you've been in the West?
Yeah, bro.
Nah, you were in the West.
All right. Well, I think that about covers last week games, I would say. And now I want to make a bit of a weird segue, but I really should have led with this. Tom, can we get an update on the cat that you killed?
So, in fairness, I did not. In fact, my mom and sister were in Italy for so long that there were two different people that were checking on her apartment / cats. Her friend and my cousin Rachel, who Randy has met before, and
hot cousin ooh. Rachel.
And Rachel took over Friday, which is when this all went down, and it was probably around, I don't know, 6:30 that I walk in and I get a call that says, "Tom, yeah, Rachel, what's going on? I'm at Kelly's. I think there's something wrong with the cat. What do you mean, Rachel? I don't think it's moving. Is it breathing? I don't think so. Oh, geez. Okay, what do you want me to do?" And so ensued a very depressing and awful evening where I went over there and the cat was not moving. And took it to the vet. And they confirmed what was fairly obvious, unfortunately. And in about 1 hour, Kelly and my mom will be getting home. And I don't know if my mom has broken the news to Kelly quite yet, but it's not going to be
fun. Oh, my God.
It's not going to be fun over the next 24 hours.
Oh, so your mom knows already.
Oh, my God.
I called my mom yesterday, because yesterday was the last day of the trip, because my mom is probably better at breaking the news to her than we are. Oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah, it's not going
to
be good.
I'm assuming they carpooled to the airport.
Yeah.
She's just going to drop Kelly off at her apartment and go, "Hey, by the way, your cat died. Bye." And fly and like floor out of there.
I'm assuming there's going to be a slightly more tax than that. But, you know, certainly possible the direction you could go.
I can just hear your wow. dad now. Oh, don't worry, Kelly. It's just a cat.
Honestly, my dad has so little sympathy towards pets. It's kind of troubling.
I'm going to ask him when I see him on Saturday what he would have done.
I mean, yeah, it was not good.
You know what, bummer. Tom? I do want to commend you. You did a great job handling that. That's such an awkward conversation.
It honestly, truly, you know, obviously, if it was my own pet, I'd be more heartbroken. But just the level of just, oh, what the fuck? Out of curiosity,
did the vet know what it was that killed it?
Not really, no. I mean, what's really is a shame that it was, I don't even think it was a year old, maybe a little over a year. I forget the timeline, but she had taken it to the vet a little less than a month ago. And if I remember correctly, she had gotten I guess a clean bill of health, but I think really it was just they couldn't find anything. And like, you know, the cat was acting regular, wasn't really eating, and
Was this a stray she adopted, or is this a new cat?
No, it was. She had two cats. She did have two. They were brother and they were two sister cats, and you know, two calico cats. And she's had them for about 6 months, maybe 6 or 7 months. And I don't think they had that many health problems. It's kind of weird. I don't know. You know.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, if our listeners, if you think that Tom's liable for this tragedy, email us at superfancyfootballshow@gmail.com and let us know your thoughts. And if you think there's a case to be made against him, we would love to hear it. So.
And also, if you think the glove doesn't fit, let us know. If you think Tommy did it, let us know. We'd like to hear how he did it, how you think he did it, and why he did it.
Superfantasyfootballshow.
I wasn't watching the cats. Her friend and her cousin were, and then
I get a call
at the last second saying, "Hey Tom, can you help us figure this out?" Okay.
I'd like to get hot cousin Rachel on here.
That is such
to plead her side of the story, because Tom, something you're telling me isn't jiving.
That is, I would be so pissed if someone just dragged me in to their issue. Over something like this.
Pretty Tom, much, here's my question, and I'll leave it at this. This is the part of your story that doesn't jive.
Okay.
Cousin Rachel's a nurse, right?
Yes, she is.
So what part of Cousin Rachel being a nurse, like, why would she be calling you to be like, I don't think the cat's breathing.
Randy,
take its pulse, Rachel.
Randy, I am hoping that she was just kind of stunned and not thinking right, that she was just kind of panicking. Because, yeah, that when we talked on the phone before I drove over there, I said, well, is it breathing? Does it have a pulse? And she's like, I don't know. I think so. It's like, does she or doesn't she? It's like, you know.
What hospital is she at so I know to avoid it?
Randy, unless you have a heart attack, you'll be fine.
Tom, the way I've lived my life, but that's a high possibility.
Randy, you lost like 100 pounds. You're doing fine.
Yeah, Tom, but I eat about 4 hard-boiled eggs a day, sometimes 8. Can't be good for my cholesterol.
8? Holy shit. My God.
Sometimes I don't feel like cooking, and I'm like, you know what? I'll just have 4 more eggs.
Do you eat them? Do you boil them and then eat them, or do you, like, put them in the fridge?
Oh, no, they're in the fridge.
See, I don't think I enjoy cold, hard-boiled eggs as much as, like, freshly made ones.
Oh, sometimes I put them in a little Ziploc and I eat them in the car on my way to work.
You eat them whole?
Yeah, nothing like downing a few eggs.
No salt and pepper, just down the hatch.
So if I'm at home before I leave work, I put some hot sauce on them.
Oh, nice, nice.
How
many bites are you spending on a hard-boiled egg?
If I'm putting hot sauce on it, maybe 3.
Okay.
If I'm raw dogging it, just 1 bite, throw it down the hatch.
1 bite. Everyone
throw the whole egg in the mouth. Listen to Big Booty Mix and ride into work.
What a classically Randy sentence. All right, let's get into next week's games. Week 2, gentlemen. Are you ready?
Oh, we're ready.
All right, let's start it off with let's say Oink versus Iron City Olifants, and then we can get this shit out of the way. All right, so we got Oink, who is projected 122.4. to my Iron City Olifants 107.3. I tell you, we would just be happy to crack triple digits in this one. And yeah, I think this is a tough matchup for the Olifants going up against the defending champions, one of the premier teams in the league. I hopefully get my new starting quarterback in the lineup, so that might change the odds a little bit. I'm going to have to tinker, put some of my bench players in as well.
Especially since it'll be a head-to-head matchup. Josh versus.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, look, it's Josh Allen versus the Jets. So.
Oh, look at that.
There you go.
You're going to go head-to-head.
Fantastic, and he can put up 50 on me again. That sounds great. I mean, let's go through Oink's roster here. So far, they have Josh Allen, Bijan Robinson, Kyren Williams, Puka Nacua, Tyreek Hill, who I think kind of put up an egg last week, but regardless, Bucky Irving, Terry McLaurin, Jacoby Myers, some fucking kicker, I don't know. I mean, that's a hell of a squad. I know, Rando, I lost, I screwed up my pick last week by picking against myself, and I think I'm going to do that again. I think it's a safer bet this week. I'm going Oink in this one.
Oh, Tom, you're taking Oink again.
I'm taking Oink again. I like them this year. They got a good-looking squad. Tom, who do you like?
So I am going to have to agree. I would say he's got an unbelievably solid roster. I would say aside from Tyreek and Jacoby, and that's it. And Tyreek, of course, could go off. It's just he's in such a weird place, like in terms of his – you know, drama and off the field stuff, you would say. That's the only thing keeping me from saying he's not a good player anymore. But he of course could be great still.
Did he just? I think he just had some. Oh yeah,
domestic violence.
Dolphins. Yeah, Tyreek Hill accused of domestic violence by his estranged wife, according to court filings.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
Okay, so that's a number of domestic violence issues against him. That's interesting.
And I would and John, I would. Posit to you, since you're saying you're going to put Justin Fields in as your quarterback, who are you going to replace with Trey McBride?
I think Bill might make his debut. Bill Kroski Merritt. I might throw him in there. Michael Pittman had a good day also. I'm a little nervous about the quarterback situation in Indianapolis, but I could do that. I could also go Zach Charbonnet, who put up a gentleman's 10 last week. I would love to get that too. So
your bench,
I think I have options.
Your bench has some tough defensive matchups. I will say that.
Well, I'm also seeing Keenan Allen going up against the Raiders, and he had 15 and a half last week. So
honestly, John, you know,
I might do that.
You might not accept my help, but that would be my pick, Keenan Allen.
All right. Well, now I know I'm not doing that.
There you go.
Rando, who you got in this one?
So, Tom, you picked Oink.
I did. I picked Oink.
And John, you picked Oink. I'm going to go the opposite. I'm going to go the Iron City Olyphants.
Stick with the fonts. I like
here,
it.
Here's the thing. I think that the Ravens showed a formula to attack the Buffalo Bills. And just we got a front row seat. We saw how Justin Fields did it against Pittsburgh Steelers. Mm-hmm. I have no doubt that Justin Fields and the Jets could go out and do that same against the Buffalo defense, who I don't think is nearly as good as our defense.
Okay, interesting.
They both.
Though I'd like to see you make some changes at receiver. I'd possibly like to see Keenan Allen make the lineup, Michael Pittman Jr. I'd like to see maybe them two work their way in, but I think if you can get another strong game out of Abuka and maybe Malik gets his touches.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who they're going to have throwing him the ball. I would love to see the Giants go with Jackson Dart or Jameis, because you know Jameis is just going to feed Malik the ball.
Yeah, he'll bomb.
I think with some tinkering, I think you got a real shot at this one.
All right, we'll see how it goes.
I'd like you to slap the taste of winning right out of the commissioner's mouth.
He's been on a hell of a heater.
Send Commissioner Glancy lately. Right back down the planet, Rando. Come back to Earth, David.
All right, let's get to our next game. We got the Running Fools versus Sid's Got Jeans. The Fools, as of now, are projected 112 to Sid's Got Jeans, 118.7. And, man, I tell you what, I really thought Sid's Got Jeans was going to win last week and break the over a year-long losing streak. Mm-hmm. I especially think it even more this week because I like his guys. He's got Jalen Hurts over there. He dominated Dak Prescott last week. Ashton Jeanty looks pretty solid. I think he's going to finally get a touchdown this week. I think that'd be cool. Mm-hmm. And then James Conner was solid. Jalen Warren even was pretty good, putting up 12 points. So, and I think I have similar concerns about the Running Fools that he experienced last week with Amon-Ra having a bit of a down week, Dak Prescott as well. So, oh, and he's got Nick Chubb in the lineup too in the Running Fools, and yeah. I really don't like that at all. So, I'm taking Sid's Got Jeans in this one. Tom, who do you think?
I'm going to have to echo your sentiments again, Johnny, especially that regarding Nick Ooh. Chubb. That feels like, I don't know, there's got to be a better option there somewhere than Nick Chubb. When it comes to Sid's, yeah, I mean, I think he's got the better QB. I like his running back group in totality better because I like, sure, McCaffrey out of this group is the best of the four, but Matt's Jacobs and Jeanty are better than him and Kamara. Brian's receivers are better, but honestly, after the poor showing with the Lions last week, I don't know. We'll have to see a bounce back from Amon-Ra. So, I don't know. I definitely will like Sid's.
All right. I like it. Rando, who do you like in this one?
I think, once again, I'm going to go the complete opposite of you both. I Ooh. Think we're in a basement game. Both teams are 0-1. And I think the streak continues. I think Didiano does not right the ship in week two. I think he falls to 0-2 and continues this losing streak. I think Brian has, even though the projections don't show it, I think Brian has the edge. I think
he's definitely
a lot
got
of
the experience.
I think a lot of it's going to come down to what does he do at quarterback. I think Justin Herbert right now is the more safe option.
I like that call.
McCaffrey having all these injuries like Tom hinted at the top of the hour with the 49ers. Yeah. I think McCaffrey could see a loaded front, especially if Purdy doesn't play, Kittle doesn't play. They know they're going to run the ball.
Sure.
But the Saints defense gave up 146 yards on Sunday. Yeah. They gave up 146 yards on 47 carries.
Oh, just rushing yards. Wow, okay.
Yeah,
that's not great.
I mean, McCaffrey could have a day. I'd like to see. I think Amon-Ra and the Jared Goff, they'll get back on track. I think that was just week one working out the kinks.
Yeah.
Against the Chicago defense, who let J.J. McCarthy throw 21 points in the fourth quarter. Brian. I think Nick Chubb. I know you guys are a little scared of Nick Chubb, but Nick Chubb had 13 carries for 60 yards. He's averaging 4.6 a carry. They're not giving the ball to anyone else. He's their lead back. He's who they're going with. So,
all right.
I like Brian in this one. I think Brian gets the ship back on track in week two.
You're fooling around with the fools. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's get to the next game. Altman and Sons Incorporated versus the Real Americans. The most heated rivalry in the league, I would say, especially Randy, after that stuff you said on Sunday to his face in front of his kids. That was crazy. Altman and Sons Incorporated projected 118.4 to the Real Americans 106.5. Mm-hmm. And so far, the little advantage check mark, every single one of them is going towards Altman and Sons Incorporated. So ESPN does not have much faith in you, Randy. I really don't either. I would say Altman and Sons had a down week. I don't think we see Joe Burrow get 8 points or fewer the rest of the year, potentially. So, for that reason, as well as really his entire lineup, his entire bench, I think he's going to tweak things around a little bit. I'm taking Altman and Sons Incorporated in this one. Sorry, Rando. Tom,
all right.
Who are you picking?
You know, I got to tell you, I am choosing to be the contrarian in this round. I am actually taking my bitter rival, Randy Myers.
Ooh.
Thank you, Tom.
You're hyping him up. Okay. What do you like about the Real Americans in this one?
I think that last week was a showcase for Keon Coleman. I think that's going to continue. I think since he's got a pretty shitty defense, and I think Travis Hunter could eat. And the same thing goes for Travis Etienne in the same lineup as well. Mike Evans against Houston's defense, I think that could be a pretty good option as well. Hampton, I think, is really going to go off against a very poor Vegas defense. I mean, you know, there you go.
Okay, I like it. I like it a lot. And Reno getting 25 points out of St. Patrick last week. Holy shit, that must have felt good.
Yeah, you know what? I think he might be back. It might be too early to tell, but he might be back in fantasy.
Who are you picking in this one, Coach?
Are you talking to me or Tom? Are we done with Tom? Tom picked me?
Yeah, Tom picked you.
Look, I said it. I don't believe in projections. The projections don't matter. The game's got to be played. No one ever won a championship on paper, John. Let's start there.
Mm-hmm.
I think the boys on the Real American are going to get it done this week. We're going to move to 2-0, setting the stage for a major week three showdown in Boston, the Real American versus the Cracker Barrel CEO. 3-0, 3-0 going head-to-head.
You know, when you put it like that, I really like how that sounds.
I would love to walk into Boston undefeated, 2-0, and I got Tom all weekend. I can heckle him the entire time we're there.
This is like the fourth year in a row that this has happened.
And you know, John, it would ruin his game day experience.
It always does.
He'd be checking his phone the entire time. But we got to focus on the week at hand. And I think Eric still has some question marks. You never know. Was Daniel Jones a one-off? Is Jonathan Taylor? I don't know. I think he's got a lot of question marks that have yet to be decided. I have a lot of old faithfuls that I'm gonna ride them till the wheels come off.
All right. Well, you're picking yourself. I like
and
it.
And I'm also with Tom. I think Travis Hunter against the Bengals could have a big coming out party.
Well, that's a good point because that team sucks.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get to our last game, the game of the week, technical fouls versus Cracker Barrel CEO.
The game of the week.
Cracker Barrel CEO projected 121.8 to the technical fouls, 112.8. This one looks pretty even when you look at the check marks. I know the fouls. I think I was pretty high on them. I can't keep track of which teams I liked and which teams I didn't. But I do think, unfortunately for the technical fouls, they're going up against one of the stronger teams in the league. I agree that Jahmyr Gibbs, I think he probably scores more than 9 points and has more than 31 receiving yards next week, especially against Chicago. I think that's a really good matchup. And then, honestly, Jamar Chase versus the Jacksonville Jaguars. I don't know a ton about Jacksonville, but I operate under the state that they're a pretty shitty football team. And I think he'll have a bounce-back week. So, for that reason, and for Lamar Jackson, I think I'm feeling pretty good about Cracker Barrel CEO Chance. And, Randy, I think I'm going to take him. How about you?
I'm going to ride right along with you. I like Cracker Barrel CEO in this one. I think just basically looking at the matchups, I think Tom's players have an easier schedule this week. I think Matthew is going to be hindered by, like, he's got Jaden Daniels up against Green Bay, Saquon up against Kansas City, A.J. Brown, Kansas City, Detroit, who knows. I like Matthew in the, I mean, sorry, I like Cracker Barrel CEO in this one. I don't think Matthew has enough firepower to catch him this week.
Okay. All right. And lastly, owner, coach, and GM of Cracker Barrel CEO. Who do you
and
got?
And racist.
Well, I mean, that was a bomb thrown there at the last second, but sure, okay. I will say that I am going to pick my team as well. I'm going to echo your sentiments as well. I don't love the fact that one of my top performers from last week, Jackson Smith and Jigba, is going against our beloved Steelers, and Matthew Albertchez has DK Metcalf going against his former team. You know, that's some revenge play maybe.
Right oh, there. Yeah.
That might be something
good call,
to watch.
Good call with that.
Other than that, though, I am still pretty confident that we'll be able to win this one.
All right. And now the question everyone is going to be asking once they see the trade go through, are we going to see a three tight end set in this week's game, Tom?
So I really did think about it, but honestly, Tyler Warren and that Daniel Jones-led team against a unbelievably good Denver Broncos defense, I'm probably going to put Tyler on the Warren the bench this week.
Okay. All right.
Interesting.
Well, we're gonna keep an eye out for that that three tight end set. I don't know if that's ever been done before.
I would love to see it.
I guarantee it's going to happen at some point this season.
Ooh, okay, that's a fun little teaser.
Oh yeah,
little teaser.
Keep an eye out for that, folks.
All right,
hold
well,
on. Make him stick to his word.
We only have one more podcast episode before SRK.
Oh yeah, we do.
So next one is going to be the last one until SRK.
Oh boys, it went quick, man.
It certainly did.
Yeah. It's early in the year this year. I'm happy about it.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be good.
I mean, it is fun going during good weather.
Yeah.
You say that until we get there and it's 100 degrees.
In Boston? I don't know.
I don't know. We didn't think that would happen in Chicago.
Well, that was a freak of nature. That was unbelievable how awful that was.
All right. That's all we got. Best of luck to everyone this week except for David. This has been a Super Fantasy Football Show. We'll be back next week to talk SRK. And until then, I'll see you at Froggies.
Take us out, Blow City!